Shame of Philadelphia Radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live, Sterling, every damn night.
It's 9:06 in Philadelphia. Welcome. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You're going to have excitement like you've never imagined. It's thrilling to be with you. Get your Mr. Tasty app ready so that between now and 9:30, when they shut down the Mr. Tasty trucks, you can identify exactly where your Mr. Tasty is. No, that's right. They have an app that shows you exactly where Mr. Tasty is. And now 1210 WPHT weather for the Lehigh Valley and other imaginary places. Tomorrow, oh, look at that. I was wrong. Something else in my family. I was debating something with my daughters, and I was wrong, and that never happens. Tomorrow, Thursday, high of 84, 75% chance of rain. Friday, look at that, 81, no clouds in the sky. Sunday, high of 79. Monday, high of 77, partly cloudy. Right now, it is 73 and cloudy. From 1210 WPHT, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's exciting to be here with you. And I've thought, Charles Van Zandt, one of our many, many volunteers, has puts together audio clips for me as I tell my stories that may or may not be true, as I share information with you. Usually I try to make it radio by including some sound, some audio, to make it compelling and interesting, far more interesting than any other show you've heard on the AM band since you were very small. It's the least I can do for you. And I'm looking at this row of buttons on my computer with all the different sounds. I'm like, well, why don't I just play all of the sounds now? And then we'll build back and put the stories and the ideas behind the sounds. Why don't we just listen to all of the sounds now, and then I'll explain what all of those sounds were as the 3 hours roll out. Yes, it's a live radio show in Philadelphia, 2400 Market Street.
If you tell another girl she smells good, that's a body. If you pay for another girl's food or coffee, that's a body. If you move a girl's hair out of her face, three bodies. If you let a girl borrow your clothes, that's a body. If you let another girl do your makeup, that's three bodies. If you're getting behind a girl and you put your hand in the small of her back, that's a body. Buy another girl a drink, that's a body. If I'm talking about how a girl really annoys me or I might not like her and you defend her, that's a body. If you take another girl on your boat that's not like your friend's girlfriend, that's a body. If you let another girl drive your car, that's two bodies. If you give a girl a ride home after a night out because she was out and you were sober at home, that's a body. If you tickle another girl, three bodies. If you help another girl put jewelry on, that's a body.
We're guys.
We keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man. In case he comes to town.
What?
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man. So he won't take me down to his lair.
Hardly any clothing type of a girl. Mm-hmm. No, please, no.
Earlier this year, a flight attendant asked the star if she wanted to drink something during a flight, and J-Lo didn't even look at him. Instead, she turned to her personal assistant and said, "Please tell him I'd like a Diet Coke and lime."
This is not what I want. This looks like a dead chicken.
We also both attended an all-girls Catholic high school in an Irish and Italian neighborhood, so you weren't running up and down the block. You know damn well you were sitting next to Megan Farley and Christine Marchetti in class. Why are you lying? Please stop using us to look human. We are sick of you. You don't do for us. Keep our names out of your mouth. We're not running up and down the block. So not all of us do that for kicks. You're stupid.
I would say,
stop
hey.
Using us to look
See
human.
You back. Hi. I have no content to post today, so I thought I would say hey. Say it back.
A Spirit Airlines passenger whose luggage was stolen took matters into her own hands and tracked it down to a house in Fort Lauderdale.
Now an airport employee is under arrest and charged with grand theft. Is this all part of a larger theft ring, though?
I need my computer because I go to university, so I need my computer, no matter what.
Paola Garcia stood at Carousel 4 inside Terminal 4 at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International, watching fellow passengers receive their luggage.
And I've been waiting there for at least 3 hours.
Garcia tells us she always carries on board her pink hard-shell suitcase. It fits in the overhead. But she says for some reason this time, Spirit employees forced her to check it.
The suitcase never hit this conveyor belt. That's because as she was waiting, according to an arrest affidavit and pictures, 29-year-old Junior Bazile apparently had her pink hard shell suitcase in the back of an airport retail store where he worked. Pictures show him rummaging through it.
I'm not returning my shopping cart.
Watches, an iPad.
And you can judge me all you want. I'm not getting my groceries into my car, getting my children into the car, and then leaving them in the car to go return the cart. So if you're going to give me a dirty look, off.
What's going on? I wanted to make kind of like a short video talking about my experience getting my neck tattooed. Prior to doing it, I should have probably gone on YouTube and looked at people's experience just so I could have known what I was getting myself into. With that being said, everybody's experience is probably different. It also depends on how intricate the piece is, who the artist is, if it's full color, or, you know, there's so much variables that go into it. But for me personally, it was extremely painful. It was, the session lasted for about 4 to 5 hours, I would say. Probably more because we took breaks. But I would say like the most painful part of the tattoo was definitely the sides. Here, we're way more sensitive. The outline definitely wasn't as bad as the shading, and which is odd because the shading, he used a rotary tool. For anyone that knows, rotary machines are usually a bit more gentle than coil machines. So I was actually surprised at how much pain I actually experienced. I would say from a scale of 1 through 10, the pain was like an 8 to 9. It was really getting unbearable to the point that at one point I felt like my body was going to go into shock.
How much money should you give as a wedding gift?
Personally, I wouldn't give any money.
Maybe $10 at least.
If that.
Whose wedding is it?
If it's my best mate, all.
He's a
I think you should be paying for your place at the wedding.
Like 100?
Like 20 quid.
1500, I'd say, is a good amount.
Yeah, I go that.
You guys are ballers, dude.
$100 for your place at the wedding.
Couple hundred, I don't know, 1,000.
Fuck me. Oh, you want to come to my wedding?
$2, depending on if you slept, whether or not.
$50.
$200 reasonable.
$500 max.
Look, if you're going overseas, nothing.
Just pay for like your food, I guess.
Yeah, fair, and I'm not going to eat much, so
Now get to the Gap.
We got 4 tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the Gap, now fall into the Gap.
It's the world's greatest selection. It's true.
At the Gap, now fall into the Gap.
Whatever your shape, sex or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jean. At the Gap, now shoot. At the Gap, Gap, fall into the Gap.
This is
gain-of-function research is essentially making super viruses. It's a research that aims to either make viruses more transmissible or more virulent. So why would you ever want to create a super virus? Basically to study them and to see, find ways in terms of biosecurity to prevent that. And some of that is like opposition research in terms of germ warfare, et cetera.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is all of the sound bites that is going to be heard tonight on Sterling Every Damn Night. That's what we're going to play tonight, and I'll attach the stories to it, so the mystery will be solved for you. I don't want you to be suffering in misery. Was there any soundbite there that was particularly interesting to you? 855-839-1210. I'll lead with that story. If there was a soundbite there that, what was that? What was he playing? What? I'll start the excitement, the unshakable excitement with that.
Every damn night, yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Stern Show. Every damn night.
It's the Walter Stern 917 in Philadelphia with Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by bad TikToks.
You both want my number.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not a homewrecker.
We don't live together.
It's an open relationship.
Also, Patrick has a girlfriend.
I do not. Hey, come hang out with us later. They put you up at the hotel in Flushing, right? We're in room 206.
Want me to come tuck you in?
No. We can just keep talking about tennis.
Good night.
When did you start figuring out your sexuality?
Early college. Yeah. As old as time. It's classic.
Is it?
It's classic. Is it? Isn't it?
I guess.
Go to college and they're like, I experimented or whatever.
Well, you play Ava in Hacks. She's bi. She's like very much I'm bi.
Totally.
And because
which we tend to kind of do.
You do?
I mean, hard to not. It's such a big part of who we are.
Yeah.
As queers, you know.
Okay, 922 from 1210 WPHT, a local Philadelphia radio show. Moments ago, I shared with you every piece of audio that we're going to experience tonight together. I thought, well, why don't I just put them all on, see how it sounds, and then you can figure out what stories are going to go with it, what information will go with it. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let's start with this piece of audio.
I'm not returning my shopping cart, and you can judge me all you want. I'm not getting my groceries into my car, getting my children into the car, and then leaving them in the car to go return the cart. So if you're going to give me a dirty look, f*** off.
Everything you need to know about somebody, if you're on the first or second date, if you are debating whether or not to admit that you're a relative, if you're worried about the RICO Act, everything you need to know about somebody, I believe, can be determined by what they do with the parking, with the shopping cart when they're done shopping at a big department store or Walmart. What do? Do they just sort of sneak it next to the car, not put it where it's supposed to be? You know where it's supposed to be. Not put it where it's supposed to be, or get it far enough out of the way so that you're not blamed? Or do you take the moment and very politely walk it to the row of other carts so that they can be with their friends? What do you do? If I have my kid with me, especially if I have a little kid with me, there's no way I'm putting that cart back anywhere because I would have to have the kid with me. I'm not going to leave the kid in the car for one friggin' second. Why? Because that makes news. Then you're in the news. Mr. Dreeble went and put his shopping cart back and left his 2.5-year-old to fry in the back seat. No, I won't do that. I don't think it's a moral issue. I think that all of the major chains, the Walmarts, the Targets, they have not figured it out yet. There should be a very simple way for the carts to be whisked away. You know how garbage is taken care of in Disneyland? You throw it into a garbage can in Disneyland. piece of paper, whatever, it doesn't go into a container. It goes onto a conveyor belt. It drops to a conveyor belt, and that conveyor belt takes your garbage wherever it's supposed to be. But I will not take that cart back to the annoying cart rack that takes up a parking space when I need one. No. And then there's some poor guy. There's always some poor kid who pushes them. Now, at a big place like Walmart, a big Walmart, they have these motorized things that go in the front of the all of the shopping carts that they've put together. And that pushes them in. But it's heavy. I don't know how they control those things without the motorized thing. But then what happens? Why should I have to be responsible for their shopping cart? Their shopping cart costs between $300 and $350. Did you know that? That's why many stores won't let you take them out. Or they keep them in, and then you pull your car around, and they put the stuff in your car for you because they don't want those carts out because they're $350. But then, let's say I'm a good guy, and I put it where it's supposed to be in the parking lot. I put the shopping cart where it's supposed to be. What happens then? The next time I go into the store, there are all the shopping carts lined up, Trader Joe's, Walmart, Target, wherever it is, and they're stuck together. They're shoved together and stuck together because the shopping cart guy gets a little lazy when they get near the store, and they push all of them and they slam against each other and against a wall. I will not take my cart from my car and put it in the sleeve that it's supposed to go into in the parking lot if it's more than one spot away. If I'm parked next to it, yes, I'll do that. Otherwise, no. Because why? First of all, they don't take care of the carts. They slam them together. And secondly, I've just done labor. What do you mean you've done labor? I've spent a lot of time walking through their store, but that isn't the real labor. Self-checkout is the real labor. Have I ever gone through self-checkout, boom, 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 done? No. Every time I've gone through self-checkout, every time, I've had to look around and go, can you help me? Is somebody here who can help me? Every time. Every time. And then they come over with their key and they slap their ID card on the computer device and they undo it, do-do-do-do-do-do, and they do all things I could do. I could take off that item if it was rung twice, but I don't have the card and the key and the do-do-do-do-do. I don't have that. Therefore, because I have done labor at self-checkout, I've done labor if I've walked through one of those giant stores and selected the items that my family needed, except, oh, gee, they only had grape nut flakes. They didn't have grape nuts. Ah, darn. Worst shelf position, by the way. Post. Get on it there. That's the dilemma. I'm not going to do more labor. I'm not going to do big physical labor once I get into the lot. That's nonsense. I feel no moral compass, no moral obligation to take that cart, that $350 cart, and put it in the right spot in the parking lot.
I'm not returning my shopping cart. And you can judge me all you want. I'm not getting my groceries into my car, getting my children into the car, and then leaving them in the car to go return the cart. So if you're going to give me a dirty look, f*** off.
855. This is my phone number. 855-839-1210. This is a vital issue that we need to discuss. Do you go through the trouble, the pain, the physical suffering of putting your shopping cart in the proper slot in the parking lot at Walmart, Target, Macy's? Do you do that? I do not, and I will not. I've already done labor in the store by shopping. I've done labor in the store by self-checkout. Where is my salary? And bag my own. So it's great. I've paid a premium for all these items because I didn't go to Save-A-Lot like an idiot. I should have gone to Save-A-Lot. I didn't go to Save-A-Lot. There I am at high-priced Walmart. Yes, now Walmart's high-priced. The most expensive milk is, it's not at Walmart, but Walmart no longer has the cheapest milk. And that is our absolute gauge, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? The only thing I can find cheaper at Walmart today is cereal. And they've got something other stores don't have. Other stores have family-size cereals, but Walmart has family-size cereals and mega-size cereals. I think we need to talk about this. Call me, 855-839-1210.
Sterling, every night, inspired by Mira Zalma.
Since we both like sleep, why don't we just sleep together? Since we both like sleep, why don't we just sleep together?
9:35 in the great city of Philadelphia. Welcome, I'm Walter Sterling. Every damn night, including Sunday, because we all need help getting from the weekday to the weekend to the weekend to the weekday. Yes, whatever he said. All right, right now it's 72 and raining in Philadelphia. WPHT weather tomorrow, a high of 83, 75% chance of rain. But Friday and Saturday, those are the down-the-shore days. Sunny, high of 82. Saturday, sunny, high of 80. And right now it is 72, raining from 1210 WPHT. I'm Walter Sterling. It's 9:35. Hello, I don't care if you're here or not. Let's talk about this. Well, is the Gap back? The denim brand poised for a comeback after Anne Hathaway makes a splash with Zac Posen's shirt dress despite years of controversy, including that Kanye West drama. I don't know what that Kanye West drama was. The mall chain first opened in 1969 in San Francisco, which is a city that no longer exists. It's had its fair share of ups and downs. The Gap was wildly popular in the 90s and the 2000s. However, in 2010, it seemed to fade into oblivion like you, with no one wearing the eponymous sweatshirts anymore. But in 2020, there was a bit of resurgence as Gen Z members took to TikTok to perform dances in hoodies. All right. The reason the Gap has suffered ups and downs is because they stopped buying radio time and they stopped playing that jingle. And that jingle is what put them on the map. That's what they need to do. Whenever I walk into a Gap, I always feel fat. And most of my life, I haven't been fat. But the minute I walk into a Gap, I always feel not cool and not cool and not young enough to be in a Gap. The other mystery to me with a Gap, this is for guys now, is that we don't know how long our pants are supposed to be. We don't. There's always that, 34/30 thing. We don't know what that second number is supposed to refer to. And then in our youth, we had a terrible experience. Whenever we went to a real tailor, that real tailor would shove a tape measure up our crotch in front of our mother, and the tape would go down to the floor, and he would know what it meant, but we didn't know. For years, I made two mistakes. I had the wrong shoe size because I was still thinking my shoe was the same size as when I was 13. And I never quite got that inseam thing and didn't vary by pants. For years, my inseam was too long, too long. Now I know what my inseam is. Now I know what my shoe size is. Neither I'm going to brag about. But the fact is, not everybody is built for the Gap. And then the music would be too loud and there'd be too much ventilation and too much noise. And they always seemed disorganized. I know the shelves look nice, but to find my size always seemed like a very big production. And then to look for the clothes that were featured in the commercials, I never could find those. I had no idea what they were talking about. What they need to do at the Gap to make it successful is if Anne Hathaway wore something that made it all groovy and cutting edge now, then they need to have giant cutouts of Anne Hathaway in the Gap. And whatever it is she's wearing, it needs to be on shelves right next to her. And then here's a wacky idea. And I had the same experience with the Big and Tall Men's Shop, which blessedly I don't need to go to anymore. But the Big and Tall Men's Shop made the same mistake. At the Gap, there needs to be one salesperson over the age of 14. Just one. Somebody that we can talk to and not be embarrassed about asking what is an inseam. Just one. Those are the hard line, eye level things that can be done to change and fix the Gap, a mall store. The other thing is when I'm in a, this really freaked me out. When I'd go to a Big and Tall Men's Shop, very important. I'd go into Big and Tall Men's Shops more than one be greeted by a size zero saleswoman. There was a perfectly nice professional saleswoman, but she was a size zero and she was 22. How could she possibly know what a 6'2" guy needs and how they should fit and how they should be measured and how they should fit into their shoes? When I went, first time I went into a Big and Tall Men's Shop, I thought I'd meet other guys like me, big and tall men, big and tall men. That's what I thought I'd run into. And then I'd be able to honestly share my feelings, my embarrassments, my concerns. Which belt should I wear? Really? Do I still need that? Instead, I get the, you know, this nice young lady who's a size zero. And I all I wanted to do was buy the essential item that I had come in there for and run out. That doesn't help their business. Why wouldn't it be common sense for them to stock their store with employees who are people who would need their product? At a Big and Tall Men's Shop, I've never seen a person, a seller, who needed their product or could fit into any of their products. These are my big retail pieces of advice. Want me to go to Macy's? Here's my number, 855-839-1210. Let's talk about these things. Does this make sense to you? Am I making sense here? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Macy's, if these stores are having trouble, it's really easy to understand how they're having trouble, isn't it? Good luck finding a salesperson at any Macy's in any department. And notice that the shoe departments are swelling with customers, and other departments have pretty good traffic, but the men's departments at the major department stores like Macy's, those are empty. And the reason is this: many women are very good at shopping. Very few men are very good at shopping. Men need help to buy anything in a clothing store. A lot of help. Why? Because no man, no boy wanted to go to a clothing store at all. Therefore, they were dragged by their mother or their cool aunt, but they never went alone. And they're not going to venture into the scariest place in the world, which is a men's department at Macy's, because of the trauma from their adolescence and the fact they don't know what how to buy a shirt. They don't know how to get a collar right. They don't know how to buy a shoe. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in stores where I needed a shoe or a slipper or something. I've said, could we measure my foot? Oh, we don't have that thing anymore. We used to. We don't. Did COVID get rid of the foot measuring thing and the people who knew how it worked? Because it's been a long time. But then you find the shirt you want, the jacket you want. You go to pay for it, and there's nobody. You can't find a person to help you. Hi, I'd like to give you money. Oh, this isn't my department. Hi, I'd like to give you money. Oh, this isn't my department. That appears to be the first thing they say in their training manual. Remember, whenever you see a customer at Macy's, be sure that the first thing you say is, this isn't my department. That's the first thing you need to say when you're working at Macy's. And then they scurry off to whatever department they're supposed to be in. But I just think they're going for their donut break. That's what I think. What do you think? How do you feel? In talk radio, to make it easy to call. Ask the listener, how do you feel? You can't get that wrong. You can't get that wrong. If you say, how do you, what do you think? You're not going to get any phone calls because then people think they're graded. I don't grade you, but I sure would like to know how you feel about these retail dilemmas. 855-839-1210. That's Walter Sterling's phone number, 855-839-1210.
Fall into the gap now. Get to the gap.
We got four tons of Levi's.
Five in Philadelphia with Walter Sterling. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by a proud butcher.
There's over $10 million in beef in here. The best steaks in the country.
Strippers on the loose, we're live, but we're not local.
Generally, when you go to Yelp to find a great gentleman's club, you usually get a good feeling about whether the place is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to go enjoy some jiggling and dancing, or whether it's bad. The Office Gentleman's Club has a 2.8 out of 5 average, and the reviews are all either 5-star or 1-star. It's crazy. Well, at 2 o'clock Saturday at the Office Gentlemen's Club near West Van Dorn and South Folsom Street in beautiful, beautiful Lincoln, Nebraska. Well, apparently a little bit of a kerfuffle at closing time. This club is open every, well, Sunday they have cut back hours for church. Sunday they're open 7 to 2, 7 p. to 2 a. And the rest of the week, 3 p. to 2 a. Well, the club is closed. Argument in the parking lot. Shooting goes on. Second suspect arrested. Christopher Z. Johnson, 32, of Lincoln, picked up on suspicion of 2 counts of first-degree murder and 2 counts of using a firearm to commit a felony. Mr. Johnson went on the run all the way to Omaha, so, I don't know, 45 minutes away. Booze, broads, and testosterone are 3 things that rarely do well together, especially after midnight. My rule, enjoy your time. Enjoy the lovely ladies in the champagne room. Don't get into an argument with some dopes, because you never know who's going to pull out a gat and start pulling the trigger. Rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat with the gat. Christopher Z. Johnson in custody. We remember Carlos Silva and Terrell Jones. Their memory will be a blessing. From the champagne room, this is Vila Hool, Sterling at Night.
Live radio show, a live radio show from WPHT in Philadelphia. 50,000 watts, which means it covers at least 1/3 of Philadelphia. It's 952 with Walter Sterling. Sam, welcome to 855-839-1210. Hi. Yes, Dan. I can't read. Dan, hi. Welcome to 855-839-1210. Hi.
Yes, good evening, Walter. You're welcome for my call. Yes, I just wanted to remark about the shopping cart situation.
Yes, Dan.
I think you're right. You can tell quite a bit about a person based on their behavior, you know, regarding taking the cart back. What do you think that says about somebody?
Well, what do you do, Dan?
Oh, that cart goes back where it should be, that cart in the cart return, or back to the store. You know, it takes a whopping, 35 seconds. I know it does seem a bit annoying, but it's just part of the process. I always park right next to the cart return because, well, it's convenient for me. Plus, that's one less side a car can park next to me and ding my car door because people are inconsiderate.
I think there should be a parking lot concierge that will.
You read my mind. I was going to say that.
That'll do 2 things. One is they'll put the cart away for you, and 2, they will run back in to get what you forgot.
Well, good luck with that one, especially at Walmart. Ugh.
Do you know at Costco, they do have cashier concierges. Have you noticed that? If you forgot something and you're in line at the cashier at Costco, you can say, oh, darn, I forgot the milk. And there is a person there whose job it is to run and get it for you.
That's interesting, but you can't compare Costco and Walmart. Walmart is just the bottom of the foot of the country, and I haven't set foot in one since 2011. I swore it off. It's just deplorable. Too cheap.
Dan, I expect you to call in every night. Thank you very much for calling Sterling all damn night. My phone number is 855-839-1210. We're talking about retail dilemmas. 855-839-1210.
Fall into the gap now. Get to the gap.
We got 4 tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the gap now. Fall into the gap.
It's the world's greatest selection. It's true.
At the gap now. Fall into the gap.
Whatever your shape, sex, or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jeans.
At the gap, now shoot out the gap, gap,
fall into the gap.
This is the only city where it is culturally acceptable in a busy mall parking lot to put down lounge chairs to save a spot for whatever relative is going to be coming by. To put down lounge chairs, blankets, holding the spot for them. I got a good spot for you. Got them on the phone. I got a good spot for you. We're on the third level in the northeast corner. And they will never find you because none of us know where the north, south, east, west is. I've never understood that. You go down there. Go over there. I have a secret route to get to the Jersey Shore. A secret route to get down the shore, and I'll share that with you coming up because there's no reason for you to sit in those ridiculous lines. And I want to congratulate once again Stephen and Selena of JB Bakery of Burlington, New Jersey, for coming up with the ultimate, the perfect Pride Month baked good item at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. The perfect one. No, the perfect one. You ready? At JB Bakery, they don't have an annoying flag on a cupcake. They don't have gay icons on the wall. They don't have Taylor Hansen staring down at you. Nope. If you want to buy the Pride Month baked good at JB Bakery, it's waiting for you right now. Sticky buns.
Just wanted to wish the LGBTQ plus community a happy Pride Month. Enjoy, but don't forget to thank a straight person for your existence.
Have I played enough crap to get to the break? I'm pretty close, right? I'm Walter Sterling, and you and I are together 6 nights a week. And I answer my email. My email address is waltermsterling@gmail. waltermsterling@gmail. Every email I get gets answered. And, oh my God, we're coming up on a month doing this at 1210 WPHT, an actual live show, a Philadelphia-based live show at this time. It has been 32 years, a team of researchers, 32 years. Since a live local show was on in this time period on WPHT. Isn't that amazing? This entire show dedicated to Connie Willis, Sterling every night.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
All right, from 1210 WPHT, weather for greater Philadelphia, rain right now. Rain, 72 degrees. Tomorrow, 69 to 83, high of 83, 75% chance of rain. Friday, down the shore, Friday, sunny, beautiful, 82. Saturday, down the shore, Saturday, high of 80. And on Sunday, it'll be partly sunny, High of 79 from 1210 WPHT. Right now, it is 72 and raining. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a live local show. We believe in local. We believe in local. It's very exciting. Very exciting. What do you want to do now? Let me see. There's so many things we could discuss, and there was something exciting I was going to discuss. There was a story I wanted to tell you. One second as I look through the variety of many stories. Oh, yes, yes, yes. All right, here we go. This is not the day before. Where is it here? Sorry, hold on a second. Okay, here it is. Not the day before Thanksgiving. That's not the busiest travel day of the year. This Friday is probably going to be the busiest travel day of the year. And the Philadelphia airport has one of the worst on-time records of any airport in America. One of the worst. And it's a bizarre terminal because they're connected by buses. And then there's one really good terminal, Terminal 4. That's the international terminal. That's for the very big planes. There you can get really good food. And then the other terminals are kind of scummy and scary and SEPTA-driven. But the worst thing possible happened to this poor guy who flew Spirit. No, no. Spirit is bad enough. Having to get on Spirit Airlines is bad enough. Once I was on a Spirit airline and the flight attendant said, "Every one of you at some point is going to say, I will never fly Spirit again, and I look forward to seeing you on the next flight." But this happened to a Spirit customer, and oh my God.
A Spirit Airlines passenger whose luggage was stolen took matters into her own hands and tracked it down to a house in Fort Lauderdale.
Now an airport employee is under arrest and charged with grand theft. Is this all part of a larger theft ring, though?
I need my computer because I go to university, so I need my computer, no matter what.
Paola Garcia stood at Carousel 4 inside Terminal 4 at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International, watching fellow passengers receive their luggage.
And I've been waiting there for at least 2 hours.
Garcia tells us she always carries on board her pink hard-shell suitcase. It fits in the overhead. But she says for some reason this time, Spirit employees forced her to check it.
The suitcase never hit this conveyor belt. That's because as she was waiting, according to an arrest affidavit and pictures, 29-year-old Junior Bazile apparently had her pink hard shell suitcase in the back of an airport retail store where he worked. Pictures show him rummaging through it, her MacBook, 2 watches, an iPad.
And she called her watch, which was in the suitcase, and it rang while this guy had her suitcase. When I went to Europe, when you go to Europe, you buy some expensive stuff. You pack it nicely in your suitcase. And we bought some nice stuff in Italy. We bought some nice stuff in Italy. I love Italy. Buy some nice stuff in Italy, pack it perfectly in the suitcase, check the suitcase, and when we got home and opened the suitcase, everything of value had been surgically removed. They didn't take the whole suitcase. They surgically removed every single thing of value. One of our great frustrations is the dichotomy between how we thought air travel was going to be when we were growing up and how air travel is. All of the hacks, all the things you could do to get an upgrade to business or first, most of those have been stripped away. There was a time, I'm going to tell you the truth, I traveled a lot. When I was a suited consultant, when I'd travel around the country and stay in Ritz-Carltons and get upgraded to first, there was a time when to get upgraded to first, as long as I was dressed okay, all I had to do was go up to the ticket counter in the airport and make sure nobody was around, nobody was within earshot. And I would wait to see who was either my age, a man my age or older, or a woman much younger. Women my age and older were not going to help me. Women much younger might help me. A guy my age or older, he was going to help me. No problem. And I'd go up to him and I'd say, I really need to be upgraded. I'm old and I'm tired. And what kind of yogurt do you like? What flavor yogurt do you like? And they'd say, you know, mocha, fine. And I'd disappear. And I'd come back, and I would wait for nobody to be at that ticket counter. Nobody could see this transaction. And I'd just calmly hand them a mocha yogurt in a cup. Instant upgrade. That, I can't tell you how many times I have gotten a mocha upgrade. Or, depending on how he looked, I'd say, "What, you like cigars?" "Yeah." And I'd bring him back two cigars, Partagas cigars. None of those tricks would work with most women, much younger women they'd work with. Not a woman my age or older, because they're all the Karens, all the Karens. Well, one time I go up to the Delta flight desk in L.A. to fly from L.A. to Philadelphia. And behind the counter was a real Delta employee. It was a gentleman in a crisp uniform with perfect gray hair. And he was very much in charge. He was not one of these people behind the ticket counter who had four or five helpers. No, no, no. He could load a 747 all by himself. No problem. Well, now it's I wanted to be upgraded, right? I go up to him and I looked him in the eye. I said, "Listen, I'm old and I'm tired and I'd really appreciate it if you could upgrade me." Handed him my ticket. He took my ticket, didn't look at me, and he said, "Sit down." And I thought I was in trouble. "Sit down." Now, this was a Delta ticket agent in L.A. There's no nonsense on Delta outside of Atlanta. In Atlanta, you can fool around all you want with Delta. But outside of Atlanta, no, 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 no. And I usually didn't fly Delta. I usually, coast to coast, I'd usually fly other airlines, but I didn't fly Delta. But this one time I flew Delta. Now I'm sitting down. And now the 747 is filling up. What did Delta fly? 747, L-1011. It was filling up. Everybody in the waiting area was online, boarding up. And I'm thinking either he forgot about me, or he's punishing me for the audacity of that request. I figured he'd come back with 23D, center seat. I assumed he'd hand me a boarding pass that said 23D. That's not what you want on a boarding pass. Finally, everybody's on that plane. I think I'm going to miss the plane. I'm very anxious now. I can't miss the plane. It's a nonstop to the coast. I can't lose this seat. He comes around the counter. He walks. He looks at me with a stern face. He hands me the boarding pass. It said 1B. And then he said, "That old and tired line will work every time." 10:15 from 1210 WPHT, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Captain Kangaroo.
You know, I'm kind of glad that Mr. Moose isn't here right now.
First order of business, how old are you?
Boom. I'm about to turn 30 next.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm kind of the Leonardo DiCaprio of lesbians. I get older, they stay 22.
Rich!
Ooh, saved by the bell. Well, best of luck to you.
I think it says people of Walmart. Doesn't it say people of Walmart there? Does it say that? What? So play it. Do, do, do. Do, do, do. Okay, tight as a drum. Very happy about that. It's Pride Month.
Hello, young folks. What you shaking? I gotta try that scene you're making. Flipper on jeans turning on.
Thank you. And that is the tragedy of being gay in the 60s. There's a man, we all knew he was gay, was no secret, and he had a boyfriend. And it was such a distorted whack job relationship that he wanted his boyfriend to have plastic surgeries to look more like Liberace and therefore could present him as his son. Present him as his son because he could not admit that he was gay. And everybody knew he was gay. It's like Barry Manilow. Poor Barry Manilow, for decades, said he had been married, pretended that he wasn't gay. Everybody knew he was gay. And it wasn't until very recently that Barry admitted that he was gay, because he imagined that if he admitted it too soon, he would lose all of his women supporters, women fans. And it wouldn't have mattered. We like the songs. That's it. That's all. Andrew, you got something for me? Yeah. No. You have to get it out of archives. It's from the archives, like the other ones you play, like the Strippers on the Loose. You didn't have a Strippers on the Loose either. Why is this a puzzle? All right, forget about it. 1022 with Walter M. Sterling and Jumo.
Uh-huh. Big CD. Whoa, using penne?
Right.
Don't taste like the ocean. Don't get your pasta in motion.
1023 from 1210 WPHT. Now, what did I want to talk to you about? This was very important. Hold on a second. I got to remember what I was going to do. Oh, yes. This. I was going to do this.
This is how to survive a family reunion, being a Nosawo kid. Remember the words, ¿cómo estás? They will carry you throughout the entire reunion, because you will be meeting dozens of people who you've never met or seen before in your life, pero they all have one thing in common, your mom's Facebook page. So when your tía or tío walks in, you're going to look them dead in the eyes and say, hola tía, ¿cómo estás? Followed by a bunch of besos. One of two situations can occur.
Ay, mijita, mira qué grande que estás. Yo recuerdo cuando estabas muy chiquita.
In most of these cases, they're just complimenting you. So all you have to say, gracias. Pero if this happens,
estoy muy bien, ¿y tú qué estás haciendo ahora?
They asked you a question, but you don't know what they said, but what do?
I don't want to go to the family reunion. It's not my family. It's my wife's mother's family. Not my wife's father's family. I like my wife's father's family because they're like me. They don't really like to socialize. They're pleasant, but they're like me. But my wife's mother's family, who are all from Appalachia, they have these family reunions every year, and I'm dragged to them every year. The first time I had to go to one, it was in a forest with unheated, unair-conditioned cabins, and we were to stay in the cabins. Now, I can't sleep without an air conditioner. There are many reasons for this. I can't sleep without an air conditioner. But I'm like, why don't I want to spend 3 days with these people? And the reason is, besides the fact that there's no conversation about me, and obviously the conversation needs to be about me. There's no conversation about me, but the conversation is about the past. They always talk about the past. I have never been to a dinner at my in-laws where they talked about the future. I've never been to a dinner where they talk about the present. They talk about the past, and I mean the past, starting with World War II. My father-in-law starts talking about World War II and Winston Churchill as though they were roommates. He talks about them all the time and various theories on what could have happened. I have been married longer than World War II lasts, and I have nothing to do. And then this is the weird thing. Every family is weird stuff. When my wife's mother's parents died, one of the things that her mother had done was make memory boxes, had taken garbage, trash, put them into gift boxes, and had memory boxes. And then every few months, My mother-in-law would bring out a memory box, and everybody would sit around. Oh, yes, I remember this salt shaker. I remember you were 4 years old when we first saw this salt shaker, and I believe it was at Aunt Betty's birthday. That was such an interesting birthday party, wasn't it? Because George couldn't come. And a lot of people were upset that it was during one of the football games, but then it came around and everybody enjoyed the day. This is how it goes for 3 days. For 3 days, this goes on. They don't talk about politics, thank God. But they don't talk about current events. They never talk about current events. They talk about life in Appalachia. How'd you get here? Well, I got here this way. Really? Was that the best way to go? I don't know how to get through this. And I have jerry-rigged business trips around it to avoid it. I've come up with a long number of wacky plans to getting around it. But there I am, stuck at these family reunions that I have no interest in and no participation in. And the worst-case scenario is if somebody says to me, aren't you on the radio? Aren't you on the radio? Radio? Aren't you on the radio? Yeah, we listen to that KDKA. We listen to the KDKA. Most of them are of the generation that stills refer to the station they listen to as the noun for radio. The KDKA, the WPHT, the KYW. That's what they'll say. Oh, yeah, I listen to the KYW, not KYW on the radio. It's the KYW. That's how successful that branding's been. And they'll say, yeah, I listen to that KYW. Or they think I'm on whatever station they listen to, and it's Ben. It's WIP. Whatever station they listen to the most, that's the station. Yeah, I listen to you on that WIP. No, I'm not on WIP. Yeah. And then somebody gets really drunk. The kids get stung by bees and mosquitoes. And everybody but me thinks they had a great time. I don't want to go. What do I do? 855-839-1210. That's my live phone number. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. The challenge of the family reunion. My family had the good sense to never have a family reunion because they were afraid of the RICO Act. We didn't have any group photos. Group photo, bad idea. For my family, very risky to have a group. Oh, you were talking to other known criminals? Well, yeah, it was very risky. I have no interest in going. I don't know how to get out of it. How the hell do I get out of it without pretending to be really, really, really sick? Which is a really lame excuse. 855-839-1210. And yes, we have social media. Walter Sterling is the Facebook name, S-T-E-R, Walter Sterling. And this is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Frank Zappa.
Are there any rock lyrics, Mr. Zappa, that you have heard in the past couple of years that you wouldn't want your children listening to?
We are the world.
1035 at 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. And you and I get to be together every night from 9 to midnight. A local Philadelphia show. Oh, my God. Here we go. WPHT weather. We will scroll to this. Tomorrow, Thursday, high of 83. 75% chance of rain. Friday, beautiful, sunny. This is the Wildwood Day, high of 81. Saturday, sunny, gorgeous, high of 79. And Sunday, partly cloudy, 79. Right now it is 71 with heavy rain in Center City, Philadelphia.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Everyone wants a no-show job. You get paid no matter what. You do nothing for that money. And money keeps showing up in your pocket. And you look at that direct deposit and you're just making some money. New Orleans police officer Christopher Jennings had such a job. Well, not really such a job. He just didn't show up for it, but put in for the hours. He was arrested Friday afternoon after investigators said he was paid for Walmart security on details that he never worked. Jennings, while employed as a senior police officer for the New Orleans Police Department, allegedly failed to show up to six details he was scheduled to work at three separate Walmart locations across the city. Still, detectives say he got paid for the work. Now, Jennings would call in his presence and sign off, but he would never be present for the shift itself. In fact, they went and did that locator for his vehicle. It was at his home. Those Walmarts, not as safe, obviously, with no police officer there. The Public Integrity Bureau Internal Review Board says it used surveillance footage to confirm that Jennings never was at his details, making extra money. A license plate reader on Jennings' take-home patrol car revealed that he was often in Jefferson Parish and when he's supposed to be on duty in Orleans Parish. Okay, there you go. We've got a bad cop off the street. Police officers, we love you. You do amazing things. You keep us safe, and we love you for it. Freelance gigs. Show up! And if you don't go, don't put in your money to get paid. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hools, Sterling, at night.
New Jersey State Trooper Jason Dare fired over tattoos linked to white supremacists. A New Jersey State Trooper who disappeared from a Delaware County medical center last year, prompting a multi-day search, was fired after an investigation into his tattoos that were linked to white supremacist ideology. Detective Jason Dare was terminated from the New Jersey State Police in November. He'd been in service for 19 years on the force. When Dare went missing from the medical facility, I don't know, people started looking for him. He was a cop, you know? He was a cop. And then what? Let's see. He went missing near the Pennsylvania State Brandywine campus and was found 5 days later in the Middletown Township area. When authorities released photos, Dare, in a public call to help with the search, some questioned tattoos seen on his body, saying they might have ties to white supremacist beliefs. I can't imagine anything more bizarre or terrifying than neck tattoos. Nothing seems to end well with neck tattoos. Have you noticed that? Like, you see a guy with a neck tattoo, you're just scared.
What's going on? I wanted to make kind of like a short video talking about my experience getting my neck tattooed. Prior to doing it, I should have probably gone on YouTube and looked at people's experience just so I could have known what I was getting myself into. With that being said, everybody's experience is probably different. It also depends on how intricate the piece is, who the artist is, if it's full color, or, you know, there's so much variables that go into it. But for me personally, it was extremely painful. It was... the session lasted for about 4 to 5 hours, I would say. Probably more because we took breaks. But I would say, like, the most painful part of the tattoo was definitely the sides. Here, we're way more sensitive. The outline definitely wasn't as bad as the shading, and which is odd because the shading, he used a rotary tool. For anyone that knows, rotary machines are usually a bit more gentle than coil machines. So I was actually surprised at how much pain I actually experienced. I would say from a scale of 1 through 10, the pain was like a 8 to 9. It was really getting unbearable to the point that at one point I felt like my body was going to go into shock.
I believe that neck tattoos should be illegal. For a long time in the tattoo industry, just as a matter of practice, best practices, they would not do a face tattoo. Now they'll do a face tattoo and you're in a gang. And you might as well just go to prison. If you have a tear under your eye, you're in a gang and you might as well just go to prison. But when I started seeing the neck tattoos, I'm like, they never think it through. They never think through, oh, this looks cool. It'll protect me in prison. They don't think through to where you're 60. You can't hide a neck tattoo. You can't hide a neck tattoo. That'll be with you the rest of your life. And if you don't think you're going to terrify children or nice girls, you're wrong. The nice girls aren't going to get anywhere near you. And you might think, well, I don't. That's not what I want. Yeah, well, you're 27. When you're 37, it's going to be different. And when you're 47, it's going to be completely different. You're going to look for every turtleneck you can buy and heavy stage makeup that you can get to cover that up. You will never want that. And then if it's painful to get it, can you imagine how painful it is to get rid of it? I believe they should be illegal. I believe that it should not be legal to paint your neck permanently. Well, you know, people have freedom of expression. Well, not really. In most HOAs and most homeowners association, you can't paint the front door any color you want. That's painting the front door. In most apartment buildings, you can't paint the front door any color you want. Your neck is the front door. It just seems it nothing good comes from it. And let's say you love your neck tattoo and it's wonderful. At some point, you're going to get tired of that design and wish you had a different design. Ah, that can't happen. You're not going to have that happen. Absolutely do not believe. But what is the brain? Where is the brain? Where is the meth brain that you wake up at 11:48 in the morning, you pull open the shades, go, oh my God, today I'm going to get a neck tattoo. What should the pattern be? I looked at a couple different ones. There was one of a Budweiser beer can on my neck, another of Satan on my neck, and another of Steven Singer on my neck. Which should I do? My wife said I couldn't have Dom Giordano on my neck, and she refused to have the Swords of Islam painted on my neck because I'm Irish. She thought that would be an insult to the Irish. And I think I'm going to go with Satan. I just want a giant red tongue of Satan sticking out of my neck because I think the kids will think it's funny. No, the kids won't think it's funny. The kids will run like hell. Their parents are not going to let their kids play with your kids the minute Satan's tongue is on your throat. Satan's tongue, bad decision for throat tattoo. 10:44 with Walter Sterling. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Frank Rizzo.
I was a cop all my life, and I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
Strippers on the loose, we're live, but we're not local. Boy, when I'm local, will be my love.
Generally, when you go to Yelp to find a great gentleman's club, you usually get a good feeling about whether the place is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to go enjoy some jiggling and dancing, or whether it's bad. The Office Gentleman's Club has a 2.8 out of 5 average, and the reviews are all either 5-star or 1-star. It's crazy. Well, at 2 o'clock Saturday at the Office Gentleman's Club near West Van Dorn and South Folsom Street in beautiful, beautiful Lincoln, Nebraska. Well, apparently a little bit of a kerfuffle at closing time. This club is open every, well, Sunday they have cutback hours for church. Sunday they're open 7 to 2, 7P to 2A. And the rest of the week, 3P to 2A. Well, the club is closed. Argument in the parking lot. Shooting goes on. Second suspect arrested. Christopher Z. Johnson, 32, of Lincoln, picked up on suspicion of two counts of first-degree murder and two counts of using a firearm to commit a felony. Mr. Johnson went on the run all the way to Omaha, so, I don't know, 45 minutes away. Booze, frauds, and testosterone are three things that rarely do well together, especially after midnight. My rule, enjoy your time. Enjoy the lovely ladies in the champagne room. Don't get into an argument with some dopes, because you never know who's going to pull out a gat and start pulling the trigger. Rat-a-tat-tat, rat-a-tat-tat-tat with the gat. Christopher Z. Johnson in custody. We remember Carlos Silva and Terrell Jones. Their memory will be a blessing. From the champagne room, this is Vila Hool, Sterling at Night.
All right, it's 1049 from 1210 WPHT. And tonight we're doing the show from the laundry room, which is a unique experience because the big debate down here is Persil or Tide. And personally, I prefer that OxyClean where, with Billy Mays screaming at us. Dorothy, do you want to say hello? Do you have things to share?
No.
Really?
Hello. Hi, everyone. Okay, bye.
Well, now, there's a premium Newhouse College student. Did you hear that? The authority that came through in that voice? Remember Billy Mays, who would scream at us about OxyClean? What was great is I used to watch the Billy Mays commercials with him screaming at me about OxyClean and a variety of other products. And I didn't know how he did it so fast. And I wondered how many rehearsals were required for him to get to be Billy Mays and start screaming at us. Well, as you know, the end of the story is the poor guy died of a cocaine overdose. He was so coked up that that's how he was able to get there. And what's interesting is how many times have there been workout programs and diet programs, and then we find out the person doing the workout or the diet had a significant external aid. Jane Fonda was it in the 80s. She was it. To get a Jane Fonda workout video, that's what you wanted to look like. You wanted Jane Fonda's body. Oh, my gosh, she looked amazing. And she'd lead you on these videotape, these VHS tapes, to get you to where you needed to be. And she was bulimic. The reason Jane was skinny was she threw up every meal. I don't think she mentioned that in the videos. And then the other one was Susan Powder. Susan Powder was this insanely energetic, very skinny blonde woman who would take a big piece of plastic that represented fat, and she would slam it on a table, and she would say, "Fat makes you fat. Don't eat any fat." This is the worst diet advice you could be given. No fat. Don't eat fat. Fat makes fat. There was no science for that. No one checked her. No one fact-checked Susan Powder. And what happened to Susan? Oh, yes, she was addicted to cocaine. That's why Susan was so energetic. And there were others who had similar liabilities, similar peculiarities. Twice in my life, I have lost a lot of weight. And I tell you how I did it. It was not with Ozempic. I happen to be a type 2 diabetic. Years ago, I said to my endocrinologist, I said, "What about this Ozempic, this injection? Do I need that?" "Oh, you're nowhere near needing that." She viewed it as a very serious drug. And I keep hearing on the seams, on the side of the Ozempic stories, permanent damage to stomach, permanent damage to various organs. If I'm a diabetic and my doctor says you need Ozempic, okay. I would no more ask my doctor for Ozempic for weight loss because it wasn't made for that, wasn't designed for that. I'm really happy for all of you who have lost weight that way. But I'm not really happy for you because I fear what's going to be found in 2 or 3 years. That is a major, serious injection. Realize it's not a pill. That's an injection. Crazy. Anyway, the way I've always lost weight, and I never ate more, Catherine de Maison wrote a book called Potatoes Not Prozac. And that was the worst title I ever saw. I didn't take Prozac. I wasn't depressed. But the subtitle is How to Beat Sugar Addiction. Many books, many doctors will tell you, stop eating sugar. No one tells you how to get off it. It's a major drug. Sugar is a freaking major drug. But Catherine de Maison's Potatoes Not Prozac, she step-by-stepped it for me on how I got off of sugar. And once I got off sugar, it was easy to not be a pig. And all her book promotes is how to get off sugar. It doesn't say it's a diet. But the heart of her diet, and others have done this, is no sugar and no white flour. No sugar, no white flour. You want to have a sandwich? No problem. Throw away the bread. You want to have a sandwich? No problem. 100% whole wheat bread. She said, you can eat bread. It just has to be 100% whole wheat. And she had a short list of brown things that you could eat, starting with peanut butter. You could eat peanut butter and whole wheat bread. But you could eat any kind of meat, any kind of fish, any kind of fruit. I never ate more and never lost more weight. I lost like 40 pounds in less than 6 months, and I never ate more food. I could eat all day. No problem. I just couldn't eat sugar. Just couldn't eat white flour. That worked for me. And I did it again during the pandemic because I had long COVID. And in long COVID, all I could stand to eat, it distorted my taste buds. There's a Facebook group about with these people where food tastes like garbage. Most foods taste like garbage, and that'll get you to stop eating it. All I could eat was unadulterated meat, fish, fruit, nothing mixed. No toppings, condiments, seasoning, nothing. It had to be unadulterated food. And I lost 40 pounds because what was I eating? I ate like 6 oranges a day. About 6 oranges a day. And sometimes I'd have meat and just meat. And sometimes I'd have fish and just fish. And I lost 40 pounds. Son of a gun. Amazing, isn't it? I am stunned by the fact that the state of New Jersey has decided to start charging us to go into the state parks after a 3-year hiatus. For 3 years, it was free to go into the state parks, no problem. And now they want to charge me again, and the price is anywhere from $2 to $10, depending on the park and depending on the crowds. And I'm like, don't do that. First of all, you don't need a slush fund. All the crooks in New Jersey are going to do is use that as a slush fund. Secondly, you didn't build the parks, really, did you? You sort of roped off an area of raw land and announced, now this is a park. You put in one trail of cedar wood and one latrine, and now that's a park. And we're going to charge you $10. And it depends how you get into the park is how much you're going to pay. If you get into the park on a bike or you walk, that's going to be like $2. If you're going to take a car in, that'll be like $10. If I walk into a New Jersey state park, I should not have to pay one penny. If I take a bicycle into the Jersey State Park, which is what they're going to start charging me for, if I ride a bike into the park, they're going to start charging me. That's lunacy, but mostly it's just greed. What are you going to do with the money? Hey, and Jersey, remember in the old days when you put up the Jersey State income tax, it was put on with a promise that it would go away, with the promise that it was a short-term solution to some financial problems, and then one day it would go away. Wow. That was a long time ago. My dad always kept track of those promises. All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, 1057 Sterling every damn night.
The Shame of Philadelphia Radio, the time filler on WPHT, yes, live Sterling every damn night.
11:06 from 1210 WPHT with Walter M. Sterling. Oh my gosh, look at this incredible Jersey Shore weather. On Friday, it'll be 81 and sunny, not a cloud in the sky. Saturday, 79, sunny, not a cloud in the sky. And on Sunday, it'll be 79, partly sunny right now, 71. Heavy rain, Center City, Philadelphia. Hey, what did she say, Andrew? Andrew, she hasn't answered yet. All right, well, let me explain. Tomorrow night, for a variety of geopolitical reasons, I cannot do the show. I could do the show, but I would die. The logistics of me doing the show tomorrow night are just hell. And therefore, I said, why don't we get someone to fill in? And then I felt enormous guilt, tremendous guilt, because I've done the show for a whole month. And I needed to take two nights away, not off. But I have to do a 9-hour drive tomorrow because I have to be at a convention on Friday. And it's an early convention. Therefore, I have sacrificed my pride and I'm going to stay at my sister-in-law's home in Manhattan. And somehow or another, they have circumnavigated against and around my brother-in-law, who doesn't believe people need housing. But my sister-in-law usually can be talked into it. Therefore, I will stay there. But it's a long drive. And then on Monday, I'm not going to do a radio show after a long drive. And then on Friday is when the conference is. And I'm going to drive from the conference when it's over to Philadelphia and do the show from Odyssey at 2400 Market Street, which is where I prefer to do the show, much prefer to do the show. But between the driving and the different places to stay and having to get up early, because I don't usually get up early, I usually get up so that I can do this show easily. Because of all of that, I'm like, really, the sane thing for me to do would be to take a night off. Connie Willis will be the guest star tomorrow night on 1210 WPHT. And Connie Willis, you may have heard, because she has frequently done the weekend Coast to Coast show, the George Norrie show. And when George takes a remarkable amount of time off, she usually is one of his guest hosts. And then Dan and Becky Gaffney on Friday night will hear all the trouble that the Gaffneys had. So that'll be Friday night. Thursday, we'll hear Connie Willis, who's an expert in all things UFOs, and we're going to talk with Dave Scott and Connie if I can pull that off. However, I'm thinking, I like talking to you. I enjoy our time on the phone. The reason I do the show is because of phone calls, that I get to take phone calls. I get to talk to you. I love to talk to you. I'm like, well, I'm going to be in the car for a really long time tomorrow, and it'd be nice if I could talk to you tomorrow in the car. And I thought, well, why don't I just give you my cell phone number? And then if you want to talk to me tomorrow while I'm on an endless drive, we can do that. And I'll give you my cell number once. It's easy to remember, but I'm just going to give it to you once. And then anytime tomorrow, call it. And if I can, I will talk to you and you will help me pass an incredibly long drive. That's a good plan, right?
We're guys.
We keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man. In case he comes to town.
What?
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the dirt man. So he won't take me down to his lair.
It used to be that when it was time for summer vacation for the kids, that was great. Parents could take it easy, didn't have to get up early to take the kid to school, no problem. Didn't have to worry about the homework. We could enjoy the time together. How was the summer recreation? The summer recreation went like this. Go outside and play. Be home in time for dinner. That was the entire agenda for the entire summer. Go outside and play. Be home in time for dinner. Don't be late. That was it. Now, when my kids said, okay, last day of school is today, which it was, last day of school today, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, all three of them are going to be home until Labor Day. All three of them are going to be home. What does that mean? That means that my costs will triple. The cost of food will triple. Our challenge in feeding our kids is significant. It used to be that food was a minimal expense. It wasn't really a big deal. Now it is a freaking big deal. I got three small bags of food from Walmart today. There was some cheese in there. What else was in there? Cheese, mango juice, That's pretty much it. It was $53. It was $53. And then they'll want to do things. But I can't say to the 12-year-old, go out and play. I can't say, yeah, go out and play, do whatever you want. No. I have to know where she is. I have to know who she's with. And I start getting texts from the neighborhood. Oh, Samantha's with us. Just wanted you to know. No, I don't want to know. I want Samantha to be able to go outside and come back home on her own. But no, it doesn't work that way. And what changed? One thing changed. Eitan Patz, P-A-T-Z. Eitan Patz. Eitan Patz was the beatific 7-year-old boy who left his apartment in Soho, Manhattan, went one block to the school bus, and disappeared. Never really had any hard evidence of his body, of his death, of where he is, or even if he's alive. Disappeared. One block. Worst case, worst part of the story, it was the first time they let Eitan walk to the bus by himself. At first, they suspected it might be Dad. It was not Dad. And I'm very happy to say it was not Dad. But that changed our culture. Nationally, when his face appeared on milk cartons that he was missing, and he's still on milk cartons saying that he's missing, that changed our culture. Because a kid who looked like that from a educated, affluent family disappears. Suddenly, we can't let our kid play in our own backyard without 24-hour, 7-day-a-week eyes on the kid. It changed everything. Now, being a parent means not less work in the summer, but much more work and much more expense. Dave Scott coming up in just seconds. It's 11:14 from 1210 WPHT with Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Judge Judy.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, Dave Scott. Dave Scott.
Dave Scott, Canadian. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night, a man obsessed with construction on the moon. For 50 years, Dave Scott believes that they have been building bases on the moon. Aliens are there. It's a very busy place. Is that about right, Dave?
That's about right. But the question is, Walt, how are we getting there? And like I teased last night when I left the show, we were going to talk about jump rooms tonight.
So yes, please. Let's talk about jump rooms.
Apparently, for the last 50-plus years, the United States government has a secret technology that they call jump rooms. Now, about 30 years ago, this gentleman named Andrew Bishago, a lawyer out of Vancouver, Washington, came out publicly and claimed that he was a child chrononaut. So what is a child chrononaut? How about somebody who walks into these jump rooms and can either go from city to city, city to the moon, or even back in time? And Bishago has made some incredibly loud claims about this over the years, including the fact that he is photographed delivering a package during the Gettysburg Address by President Lincoln, and that you could see him in that photo. And this time travel has been going on for decades. Now, there's not many of them. He's not sure if the program is still going on today, but he still strongly believes that these jump rooms do exist. Now, researchers in the UFO world, like Grant Cameron, have looked into these jump rooms, and they have actually received photographs of these buildings, these regular everyday office buildings that could be right across the street from your radio station, Walt. And they apparently inside have these jump rooms that are used today.
Now, are these anything like escape rooms?
No. No, it's like the best way I can describe it, Walt, is you watch the Austin Powers movies, okay, where, you know, he goes, hey, take me back to 1965. And he goes through this jump room where he jumps into the screen and it does the swirly thing. Well, get rid of the swirly thing. And at first, according to Bishago, they tried to use adults, but adults were too big and they were getting chopped up by the electricity that was going through the fields. I don't really understand the science behind it, but the adults were not making it. They were dying on reentry or just disappearing into the universe. So they tried children out, and children, sure, especially children between the age of, I believe, 8 and 13, 14 years old, were originally more successful because their bodies were smaller, more limber, and their muscles weren't as grown as much, so they were more flexible to survive the impact of the time travel.
So the children were successful at the jumping. The adults, not so much. Did they improve it to the point where adults could do it safely?
Now, apparently, adults can do it safely. Yes.
And how did they direct the jump? You go in there, you get, you disappear. How do they know where you're going to land?
Well, that's the interesting part about it, is they knew where you were going to land. So, for instance, one of the jump rooms was apparently, there was one in New Jersey and one in New Mexico at a secret base in New Mexico. And when the jump rooms happened, you just walked in and then you walked out the other side. And it took only seconds to do.
Right.
Now, the interesting part about it, Walt, where time travel comes into play, is to this day, Andrew Bishago can't tell you whether or not the timeline changed. Because in one timeline, he was saying that President Obama was actually one of these child chrononaut time jumpers. Something that Obama, of course, never admitted.
Well, I never understood why Obama went to the North Pole or the South Pole. I never understood why he went there for a day. What the heck was that about? You think that had to do with the jump room?
It could have done with anything. Buzz Aldrin went on that, too. And Buzz Aldrin, apparently, whatever he saw, he couldn't handle it. And the conspiracy theory behind that is that they saw some sort of alien-type technology there that scared him.
Yeah, or an alien.
Mm-hmm.
See, I always...
Very possible.
I also think back to when Jackie Gleason went with Richard Nixon to some secret base, like an Area 51, and saw something that terrified him. Not Nixon,
yes,
but it terrified Jackie Gleason. Remember that story?
And I actually interviewed the author of the book of that. His name's Paul Smith. And Paul actually did a lot of research on that, including talking to one of Jackie's former wives about it. Mm. And in that story, Jackie Gleason was good friends with Richard Nixon. And Nixon called him up and said, hey, I know you have this love of UFOs, including he built himself like a UFO-shaped cabin out in the woods. And he goes, I want you to meet me at the airport. We're going to go on a private trip. Nobody knows about this. They fly down to Florida, to this Air Force base in Florida. They land. They get taken to this hangar, and that's where Jackie Gleason is shown a real UFO, and in some sort of hypergenic chambers, they have a couple of dead aliens stored in there. And apparently, after that trip happened, Jackie Gleason became very recluse. He didn't want to talk UFOs anymore. He didn't want to talk about outer space. He wanted nothing to do with it. And he became very introverted with the way he was, because he was a very extroverted man. Everybody knows that. Look at the movies, the interviews he did, all the time in Las Vegas he spent.
Right.
And that all came to an end after his incident with Nixon.
Now, Connie Willis is going to be doing the show tomorrow night. Connie Willis is a frequent sub guest star on the Nori show. And
yes,
she
love
is,
Connie.
She's a fan of yours, and she knows your work. She knows that you know what you're talking about. She respects your research. She respects you as a broadcaster. If it's all right, would you be willing to talk to Connie tomorrow night?
I would be more than honored to talk to Connie, but I may call her Walt a couple of times.
It's all right. I'm sure you will still have your jingle. Does that make you feel better?
I'm waiting for my jingle in my email.
Yeah. Andrew, can't we pull that MP3 and mail that to Mr. Dave? Can't we do that? All right. So we're going to do that in just seconds. Anything else going on in Canada we need to be aware of?
Well, we're still waiting on the Sky Canada report, but apparently, from what I'm hearing, is that UFO sightings over Canada right now, the reports are at an all-time high. Why that's happening, I don't know. I'm still looking into it from my sources in the defense area, but there seems to be a lot more UFO sightings than normal at this time of year.
I think that's because those six planets are in alignment.
Could very well be.
You know about that? You know about that?
I do know about that because it happened on my wife's 50th birthday.
Oh, she looks 40 to me, Dave.
She looks about 37 to me, but that's okay. I lucked out.
Yeah, good decision. The great Dave Scott, how do people get in touch with you, Dave? How does a Midnight Misfit get in touch with you?
You can look at my website, spacedoutradio.com, or follow us on YouTube at Spaced Out Radio, Walt.
All right, you're a great man, a great broadcaster. I look forward to your conversation with Connie Willis tomorrow night. It's 11:28 from 1210 WPHT. You and I should talk. We haven't talked in a while. My phone number is 855-839-1210. And what I was just mentioning was that it used to be that for a parent, summer was time off. We didn't have to get them to school, didn't have to do the homework. Now, I can't let the kid go outside without knowing exactly where she's going to be and exactly when she's going to come home. And then all of a sudden, instead of having one kid at home, I have three, and they eat constantly. It's nonstop hits. They never stop eating. It is impossible to fill the refrigerator and the pantry. It's impossible because they will eat whatever arrives instantly. This will go on for at least till Labor Day. And all funds will go toward two things. Gasoline, and I found it for $3.10 a gallon. Ladies and gentlemen, I found gasoline for $3.10 a gallon. Did you hear that? And food, I found the milk for $2.70 a gallon. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Jumo on TikTok.
Let's make a pizza.
All right. From 1210 WPHT, WPHT weather. It's Jersey Shore weather. Oh my gosh, thank you. Even maybe Pocono weather. Thursday, it's going to be a high of 80. Friday, it'll be sunny, high of 79. Saturday, sunny, high of 82. And right now it is 72 and raining in Center City, Philadelphia from 1210 WPHT. And there is Connie Willis, our latest subject in the lab, who will be experimented with tomorrow night. Hello, Connie.
Oh, man, you put it that way. That's scary.
Well, you're used to being scared because you are a frequent guest star on the George Nori Show, where it's all scary all night.
All scary all the time, right? Exactly. I might be scared, but I still do it. That's what I like to say.
Well, Connie made the mistake of listening to Sterling every night last night and concluded that it was a good show, although an old-fashioned radio show.
I love it.
And Connie, how is this an old-fashioned radio show?
Well, back in the day, radio was just huge. It was very campy. It was very like rebellious. Is that a word? Can you say rebellious? Hey, you know what? I like that word. Let's
you can say whatever you want. Connie, you can say whatever you want. Yeah.
Well, it was rebellious. You could kind of say what you wanted, like you just said, and you could surprise people with stuff, and you can just have a good time. And again, I like to say campy because we would just do fun, neat little things, sound effects and just, you know, cut in people's voices and just make fun and have a good time. And you do that. And I miss that so much. That's so fun to do. I mean, interview shows and conversations, all that. That's great. I love it. But it's just still fun to, I'll never forget Sticky Buns. I'll never get that visual out of my mind from what you
gift.
Did last night.
It's what a gift from the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Steve and Selena, I said, well, what are you going to have as a baked good for Pride Month? And they thought, and they said, Sticky Buns. I'm like, thank you. You're geniuses. Geniuses. Connie has agreed to guest star for Sterling every night, tomorrow night, Thursday night, because there's no physical way I could do it without having a near-death experience. And even though many of you dream of that, especially many talk show hosts who are out of work dream of it, the fact is that I can't do it. And I can't do it on Friday. But Connie has agreed to do it tomorrow night. And what made me very happy is you have tremendous Dave Scott-type expertise.
Oh, bring it on. Dave and I, we've been trying to talk for a long time. He'll probably get on my case about that. But he actually just texted me maybe 5-10 minutes ago or so saying, hey, I'm going to finally be talking with you on the show. So it'll be great. He knows what he's talking about. He's a very factual guy. He can just spit it out. You know, he knows his stuff. He's amazing. I'm more of the I felt it. I can feel it, the emotional side of it. I'm glad that people know the facts and can keep that in mind. But I can tell you the feelings and the thoughts. I'm trying to put all this together, too. So we'll be a great team talking about it tomorrow.
I had one of my favorite guests was a woman named Stephanie Osborne, who was a payload expert for NASA for the space station. She was a payload expert, and she was a gifted guest, and also the writer of science fiction. That's what she was doing after she left NASA. And I asked her two questions, and I asked her it more than once. And she hasn't been on in a while because she's been taking care of her sick mom. She just hasn't been able to do it. But I respect her, and I hope she can get back on. But she was one of the type, just a born to be a guest, knew how to answer, boom, 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 it was great. And I said to her two things. I said, Stephanie, why haven't we been back to the moon? And by the way, am I on a speakerphone with you, a Bluetooth, a headset? Okay, don't do that. Get rid of that.
I think, I know, that's all I got. I just finished my show.
Can't you just talk into the phone?
That's what I just did. Didn't it make a difference? It didn't make a difference?
Just now
okay,
you did
I'll
it?
Keep talking. Yeah.
Okay. Now it's much better because I was getting I was getting flanging and I was getting feedback.
And I get on people too for that. You're right. My hand.
Yeah. And landlines were just fine. Thank you. So I said to Stephanie, why haven't we gone back to the moon?
To the moon, yeah.
And Stephanie said, because all of the plans, all of the drawings, all of the software has left NASA. It's all in scientists' basement. People who worked at NASA took it home. It's in their files at home. It's been lost. It's been destroyed. La, la, la. And in fact, in Florida, the where those rockets were launched from, they sold off that land. That land was for sale for a while, and they sold off that land. But then I'm thinking, what? The most classified information we ever had from the scientific community is in people's basements. It's lost. It's misfiled. I don't believe it. Then the other question I asked, and oh, by the way, couldn't we remember it? Most of those people are still alive. I bet we could put it back together. Then I said to Stephanie the question nobody asked her, which I'd never understood why no one asked her, payload specialist, space station, has there been sex in space? And I'm like, why hasn't anybody ever asked that question? And she said, yes, I think so. There was a married couple on the space station, and there was one spot in the space station where there is no camera or mic. And she says it probably happened, and it would have happened there. But I'm like, why is, you know, all these hotshot experts on UFOs and science, I'm like, ask the question. That's the question we want.
I never even thought of that question. Never even thought of that question.
Well, there was another time when Vladimir Posner, remember Vladimir Posner? He was the Russian public relations guy who spoke perfect English because he grew up in Brooklyn. And he was on with Donahue for years. And Vladimir Posner was the official Russian who was on every talk show in America because he spoke English without without an accent. And they're all talking to him about theory and political theory and policy. And I'm like, he's a PR hack. Let me ask him what he can actually answer. Sorry, he can't answer those questions. So I called up. I called in a public television show that he was on, and I got through.
You've been a rebel for a long time, haven't you?
Unbelievable. I got through.
Okay.
I got through, and I said to Vladimir Posner, yours is a communist country, yes. Are you all paid the same? And he said, no, we're not all paid the same. Do you get raises? Yes. Okay, well, that was news. And then the other thing I said to him was, are your appearances on American television reviewed by your communications office in Moscow? Do they review it? Do they go over tapes? Do they give you critiques? And he said, no, but the embassies do. The embassies in the U.S. do review what I say and give me notes. Okay. Have you ever been disciplined for anything that you said? He said, yes, I lost my travel privileges for 2 years because I said we should not be in Afghanistan. And I'm like, okay, why didn't Charlie Rose ask these questions? Why didn't Donahue ask these questions? Instead, they ask him, well, do you agree with the Kremlin in doing this? What is he going to say? Is the PR hack for the Kremlin? He's going to say everything the Kremlin does is great. Those are my deep thoughts, Connie.
I like it. It's interesting. It went from space to that. It's
what are you gonna,
space.
Well,
sex
yeah,
space.
That's so what are you going to talk about tomorrow night? Do you know, or are you going to surprise us?
Yeah, you know, well, I just finished my two shows, and, you know, y'all sprung this on me pretty quickly. It's like, you know, you have to do this show. You have to, or you're going to get demerit somewhere in life.
I never said that, Connie.
Somebody did, and, you know, I feel like I'm trapped up against the wall, and I have to do it.
Do you want to not do it, Connie? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. No, I can't wait. I think it'll be fun. I listened to you, and I had no idea that there was a cherry-dipped ice cream cone from Dairy Queen. I didn't know you could do the cherry, because I would prefer that over chocolate. And now you're telling me not only do they do it, but they're going to not do it anymore.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing. It's very disappointing. I don't know why.
I don't like that.
I don't know why. I don't like it either. I am privileged and honored that you're going to be the guest star tomorrow night on Sterling Every Night. You're going to have a great time. I wanted to make sure that the Midnight Misfits knew about you, learned about you, understood who you are, and look forward to talking with you tomorrow night. Thank you very much, Connie. Thank you. Hey, you
take
bet.
Take care.
It's 11:46 from 1210 WPHT, Sterling Every Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Kate Martin.
How I eat my popcorn as possible, and so we responded really well. I just made popcorn, and our support staff
got stops.
I love popcorn so much.
Okay, so probably, I mean.
Only box out.
Sterling Every Night. Study books, lusty books, get cozy with Thea Landon.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime. In a flash, I was behind the piano bench, hovering above Natalie as she remained seated. Hey, she squealed, giggling as I seized her forearm. This is not how this is supposed to work. Too bad. I gave her a gentle squeeze before repeating the motions on her other side. Should have given that some more thought, too, before you all but chained me to the piano and demanded I perform. Unlike me, Natalie put up more of a fight when I tried to raise her arms. The melodic laughter rang in my ears as she attempted to wriggle out of my grasp. When her efforts failed, she rotated her wrists to reverse our grip, but I almost stumbled into her as she yanked my hands toward the keys. Maybe I'll make you play your excerpt a second time before allowing you to leave, she said. I struggled to gain an advantage, yet my awkward stance made it difficult. You'll have to let me go in order to get the music out, or let me reach the piano, and then I could make my escape. Damn it, she muttered, but she didn't release me. You might as well surrender now. I bent down to whisper in her ear. Just give in and play for me. Instead of striking the keys, she leaned back into me and hugged her arms to her chest. Except my hands were still entwined with hers, resulting in a clumsy embrace with my arms draped around her shoulders. I fought to ignore the warmth radiating from her body as she reclined against me, yet I couldn't move. Natalie didn't pull away either. 100 conflicting thoughts flashed through my mind, but I was frozen in place, unsure of what to do or say. Before I could figure out an appropriate response, she rested her cheek along the inside of my elbow and exhaled a sweet, contented sigh. What is happening? My brain's attempts to sort through the current situation were drowned out by my heart threatening to explode out of my chest. For months, I'd been dreaming of what it would be like to touch her, to hold her. And in the moment, I was afraid to move and disrupt this wonderful version of reality. As much as I would have liked to, we couldn't stay like this forever. But what did she want from me next? I swallowed and tried to breathe evenly in an effort to calm my racing pulse. It didn't work. Without releasing her, I stepped to the side, leaving one arm circled around her waist as I sat next to her on the piano bench. Wide brown eyes gazed at me, captivating me with their dazzling sparkle. I stared back at her in disbelief that she was looking at me in such a way. Hints of pink appeared on her cheeks as she bit her lower lip, yet she didn't draw back. In fact, was she leaning closer? My breath hitched in my throat, and it tilted my head toward hers. when I closed my eyes, her mouth pressed against mine, and the sensation of her soft kiss erased all of my prior fantasies. The world around us vanished as I focused on memorizing how amazing she felt. Her lips parted, tentatively at first, and I welcomed the intoxicating taste of her tongue. She probed into the depths of my mouth, and I countered every frisky swirl of her tongue with one of my own. We breathed in time with each other as we engaged in our explorations. My grip on her waist tightened, and she laid one hand on my chest, above my thudding heart. Her movements grew more frenzied, the electric energy behind the kiss intensifying. I threaded my fingers through her glossy hair to hold her close, needing to experience more of her. Unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know there's always more. That was an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime, which is available at Amazon. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon.
It's starting the third shift. We're getting to the late shift. And this is the special time. We're going to work at Jeff Memorial, colleges, driving the city buses, the SEPTA buses, the 24-hour diner. It's just you and me. This is the time when the city is the most beautiful, the most magical. And if you're in the suburbs and you're not going to work right now, lying there, staring at the ceiling, smelling the beautiful rain. My 12-year-old, I said to her once, I said, oh, geez, it's raining. I'm kind of disappointed. I wish it wasn't raining. And she said, no, Daddy, I love the rain. I said, why do you love the rain, Samantha? She says, because it smells like devils and angels every night.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
It's starting to help my. Thank you for listening to the Wall